Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. This is Rita Prazer Gonçalves, linguist and senior talent management consultant. In this podcast, I have conversations with language professionals who are willing to talk about their experience, their knowledge, and their strategies to navigate the ever-changing language industry. This is also a space where I can learn and share my insights. I have been working with LSPs, enterprise clients, and freelancers for over 20 years, and my main focus is talent management for the localization industry. Let's get to know some of the most interesting people in our field: translators, company owners, association representatives, and community builders. This is The Language Worker. This podcast is also available as a videocast on YouTube. Hi, everybody. I'm super happy today because I have a friend. I've known Mariana for 10 years and a brand new friend. So I just met Eero exactly 26 minutes ago. So this is how it's going today. I love this. And today is an amazing mix because Mariana and I met for reasons that had nothing to do with languages or anything like that. But she did help me that day that we met make decisions about my language career. Can you imagine? She just didn't know. So I'm really happy, excited today to have Mariana and Eero here. He's going to pronounce his name properly. I know how to say Mariana because she's Portuguese, but I don't know how to say Eero because he's Finnish. So, I mean, it's something I could not, you know, I could not do, literally. So I would have to practice a lot and still not get there, probably. So it's true that I met Mariana exactly 10 years ago while I was living in Barcelona. She was visiting a common friend. The friend invited me for coffee. Mariana was there. I had no idea. This is how we met. I was working at Transperfect in Barcelona back then, and I was having a rough time personally. And then Mariana, with her amazing background in psychology, we're going to talk about that in a minute. She really had a big role in my decisions for the near future back then. And I ended up coming back to Portugal and leaving Barcelona and Transperfect. So that's what happened. With Eero, we don't have a history. I'm sorry. 26 minutes was not enough to know much about him, but I still know a few details, including that the man knows how to speak Portuguese. So
Well,
let's see how much we're going to touch on this subject again, but just to get it out there before I forget to talk about it, because I think it's really something that should be said right now. So I'd say I would go in chronological order, like I always do with Mariana, because I met her first. Sorry, Ed, we'll go back to you in one second. But right now, let's just hear a little bit about Mariana. I don't have to go into details, nothing like that. Just whatever comes to mind. Is Mariana?
Oh, that's a really complicated question. Thank you, Rita. Thank you for the invitation to start with. I mean, I know it's been a long time in the making, but I'm a little bit shy.
Mariana, we're having a lot of technical problems.
Mom, I work for Managed Language for a few... I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
It's okay now. Yeah, it's okay now.
Okay. I work for a company called Managed Language. We have been in trading for like 20 years. I landed here. Don't know exactly how or why. I do, but it was an accident to land in the language industry. I am a mom. I live in England, but I'm from Portugal. And yeah.
And she's being very shy because she's very talkative, but we'll get there. It's just because she knows I'm recording, so don't worry about it. So, Eero, let's hear about you. First, please pronounce your name. If you can include last name, that would be great. And then just a little bit about you.
Well, the name is always a multiple part question, but at least multiple part answer, because, you know, if I'm speaking English, I usually go with Eero, like the chocolate, because it's just easier to fit in the language. But in Finnish, it would be Eero. We roll our R's as well, but usually I say this apart from fellow Finns, it's the Roman speakers who pronounce it the closest. And then surname I always struggle in English, but in Finnish I would go Kaiku, Kaiku is it means echo, in Finnish.
I
Most of our
see why there's
surnames
a lot of
are.
explanation about this name.
Well,
There's
yeah.
meanings involved and everything.
Most of our names are surnames are nature related in Finland.
Oh, I didn't know that. That is fascinating.
All
We might talk a
professions.
little bit about the ins and outs of Finnish, and I mean theoretically, because it's something that I've never had the chance to talk about.
Always
Now
happy
that I
to.
think about it, I do have a couple of Finnish friends. True. And I've worked with a few Finnish people, but the truth is that we never got into the ins and outs of the language. So this might be the situation for that, right?
It's an interesting
So,
language.
yes, I know. So why are they here? Because they work for Managed Language. And of course, I'm friends with Mariana, and we sometimes talk about language stuff. And I have been asking her for a long time to be on the podcast for many reasons. One of them is because she works for a company that's maybe a little bit different because of the nature of the work that they do. But we're going to get into that in a little bit. But before that, we need to know a little bit more about Mariana. There's lots to say. We'll see what she chooses to talk about. But the truth is, I'm going to say this. She started by being a successful psychologist here in Portugal, right? But when you were in college, how did you decide to actually study psychology? Because I think I'm sure it's very relevant for your role right now. But back then, when you were not thinking about anything else but being a psychologist, how did you make your decisions back then in,
Well, I
20
actually
years
started by
ago?
studying something else than psychology. I started.
No.
You didn't know that part.
No.
Oh, I give you something to discover on the podcast. I started by studying law for 3 years. So I had it in my head that I wanted to be a lawyer from, I think, Hollywood Thiel probably had something to do with it.
I didn't see this coming,
And
but yeah.
yeah, so I studied law for 3 years. And then I figured out that when I was in my 3rd year that I didn't want to do anything with it when I finished. It would be a lot of paperwork and not much of what I had in mind. And one day on a chat with my mom, I just decided to change to psychology. And so I did. I liked the air, I liked the subject. I liked to work with people. I really wanted to make an impact in people's lives at the time. So there I went to psychology, and I studied psychology with educational focus for 5 years. I started working straight ahead, and when I started uni, working with kids with learning disabilities, and with the kids, with their parents, with schools, with teachers. And then, because I was so lucky at the time to start working straight away, because I was applying to the educational psychology plans. So the psychologist developed the plan, and then I would apply it. I was able to start a career very, very early. So as soon as I left uni, I was opening my own clinic and doing masters, doing my postgrad at the same time. So when I was 29, I was kind of okay. I bought the house, I bought the car, I have the clinic, I have what now? So I moved to London. Because I came to London and I fell in love with the city. And I started working with, at the time I was very happy just to work for Eat and making baguettes and serving coffees. But because I was responsible and efficient, they started promoting me, and I ended up becoming a manager. And I spent roughly 8 years, 8 years, something like that, being a manager of restaurants, different restaurants, managing different, I mean, people, different teams, different people. I think hospitality is really demanding. Customers are very difficult sometimes.
I bet.
But you have to, I mean, you have to work with several aspects at the same time. So you do recruitment, you do financial, you have to be business savvy, and you have to understand about the financial side of it. You have to work with customer service. You have to account for different people in front of you. Your customers and you are different, are they have different needs, and you have to communicate well with all of them. Then I became a mom, and on my maternity leave, managed language needed a project manager, so I jumped on board. I didn't want to
That's
work for
that.
the hospitality anymore, and that's where I landed here.
Yeah, that
I don't know
was
if I.
plain and simple.
And it's been going well.
I know. So we'll talk about how well it's going in a minute, but first we'll get to know our
Did I say
handsome
everything you
student.
wanted me to say?
You said more because I didn't even know about the law school situation, right? So, and like I say, I don't have plans for people's answers, so I don't plan it. So it was perfect. Don't worry, you're doing well.
Cool.
So, Arrow, what was the story? What you were you? Marianne already told me he's very curious, he's very interested in everything. So, what's the story? Were you interested in languages? What did you do at university? What kind of path did you envision back then for yourself?
See, I have no university degree. I never went down that path.
You
I
didn't
was
want to
a I was a
focus so
child
much
actor.
something. Oh.
I was a child actor, and for a long time that was all I could imagine ever doing. That's why, like, I was 16 when I moved away from my parents, so I could further study acting, and so, and that's why language was always obviously important part of that, especially in Finland, where no one naturally speaks the literal Finnish. Everyone speaks in a dialect. But then when you're
Okay.
acting, you obviously have to know the formal language. So the language was always really important me to learn and master. And through that, I was always really, really curious about other languages as well. As Maria said before, we started this, I'm always the one who's asking questions about others' languages, and if anyone's bilingual, I'm like, in what language do you think, in curiosities like that. But then when I was 18, 19, I got really tired of auditioning. It's really draining. It's really It feels so very personal somehow. And I wanted something more secure. As an actor, you always have to be marketing and selling yourself. Even if you land a job, you already have to be looking forward to the next one. So I kind of wanted to leave that behind me. But then, because I had, had that as my target my whole short life, I was left with nothing. But then a friend of mine was moving to London, and she messaged me, "Well, now you can move to London with me." And I said, "Well, why not? I don't have anything else to do." So
So you
after
weren't
that,
planning to be a child, well, a young actor, not a child anymore, but a young actor in London or anything like that. You were not thinking about pursuing that type of career, or were you?
she was, and she still is, and well, there were two friends, and both of them, they are, working in performing arts in one way or another, but I had made the decision to more or less leave that behind. I have done some little, like, voiceover things and things like that. But yeah, then first, because I came to London with no plan, so I printed a pile of CVs and handed them out to literally everyone who would take it. And I ended up working in a toy store first as a toy demonstrator, and I worked there for years. I don't even remember how many years, but I worked my way up to management, which I did love. But then I actually don't know how it ended up happening during the pandemic. You know,
Yeah,
I
COVID happened.
enjoyed staying at home, and then Mariana approached me. She had already once before hinted towards it, but I loved my job, so I didn't want to
Did she
leave
buy
that.
toys from you, or why were you friends?
I was, and I still am. I'm dating her best friend, so we it's a small world. That's how we met. And she, pretty much as soon as she learned to know me, she knew that I'm very
I
passionate
mean,
about languages, and
as we might talk later on, the managed language recruitment policy is slightly different
we
from
talk about it
other.
whenever you want. Just go
Yeah,
ahead.
but we never recruited because of what people already know. We always even I don't Project managers don't have to have a background in the language industry. What what we value is their attitude towards communicating and how they treat other people. Their interest in language is a bonus. I mean, and it's been happening that we actually hire people who are interested in the area or the subject or something of the sorts. But Edo is the perfect project manager for a language service provider because he wants to learn. He's keen on learning all the time, and he's so amazing talking to people and making sure that everyone is engaged. So
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Already delighted.
Yeah, I mean, he actually creates the most wonderful atmosphere and team spirit, even in a remote position. So, and because I saw it doing it, I saw him doing it while he was working for said toy store, and I saw all his interest in language, I thought it's a no-brainer that we must have him working with us.
And okay. And all our project managers are at least bilingual.
So first, Mariana, when we're talking about managed language in this position that you are, Mariana is the managing director, but from what I could understand and from all the conversations we've had, she knows every inch of anything there is to know about the company, right? So she's like, I always told her, she's like one of the most interested people I've ever seen. You know, it's like, even if obviously, you know, her background is very diverse, she's done a lot of things and all of that. Obviously, she speaks amazing English, that already says something. But, and, you know, she really enjoys being in this environment of meeting people, of helping people. And I could feel it myself, right? Because this is exactly how we met. I was going through a tough moment. I told her all my stories in one night, right? I'm really fast when I speak. So then I had blah, 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 blah. This is what's happening. And, you know, it's like both of them, and Mariana became my friend that night, right? And both of them really helped me with their advice. And the next morning, I was ready to make decisions. I quit my job and I left the country. That's it. That's what I did. So that's how she can help you change your life. No, but it's true. I know that you have a really thoughtful and deep way of looking at people's situation. And I suppose that this is probably one of the greatest values that you can bring in the company, because I already know that you have a different philosophy. You're not so much worried about what people have done before, if they have studied this, if they have done that. You care about what's happening now and what they can bring to the table and who they are as people. And then this is, from what I've heard, what the company values above all. But I'm wondering, so when you thought about him, you have lots of people that you know in London, so you really thought that he had the personality and all of that. But then Aero, when you faced yourself with this thing that was not, you know, there was a lot of technicalities to it, because being a project manager is a really tough job. Like I always say, it's like the blood and skin and bones of the industry. It's really the person who has to have command all sorts of information and somehow manage people, time, money, language needs. I mean, it's insane, right? I know I've been a project manager. I loved it, but I have to admit that it's really intense and it's not for everybody. So how did you, you know, have this marriage between your love for languages, your interest in all of this, your previous experience, and then facing yourself with kind of job where you had to learn a lot of technical things, you know, at least the basics of all the, you know, hat tools and manage languages, softwares, all sorts of things. So what happened there?
Well, as I said before this job, I worked as a team supervisor in a store. So there's also, you know, even though it's not the same subject, but the responsibilities are very similar, and there you have to, you know, so often react in front of people, you know, with customers, with your team. But what I love about this is because we all work remotely. Now I have to do same kind of decisions, but I from the safety of my own home, which I love very much. So if there's a moment of panic, I can, go scream into a pillow, and that makes me feel loads better already. And then I can, type the professional answer there. I absolutely love that aspect. But when it comes to like learning the new requirements, it was very much working with Mariana hand in hand at first. I went to hers and first shadowing her, seeing what she does, and then bit by bit taking over responsibilities, and then just expanding from that. So because we work as such a tight-knit group, we are all very good friends. It's always very easy to seek and get support within this team. So I never really felt like I was thrown into the deep end and just had to survive.
To be honest, Rita, I think Ed is kind of giving me credit, but the credit needs to be go where it's due. I am good at seeing. I understand that I'm, like you said, I am good at seeing where the potential in people. I suck at training. I do not. I am not a good. I really am not a good person to train. But fortunately, we have someone in the team who is, and who can break it down and support and supports people as they come in and makes onboarding really easy when even when it's a remote position and people need a lot of hand holding in the first few months. So Ed had was lucky to learn from Andre and I was there to support at all times, of course. But I am not the trainer in this team, not at all.
So
Yeah,
the
but at
reason
that
why,
time the
sorry.
team was still so small that
Yeah.
there weren't too many people to train.
That's true.
Right? So
But now I guess everybody's it helps when anybody else needs training, I suppose. That's the way to from
absolutely.
what I see how you guys
Yeah.
work.
Now my job is mainly get out of their way. Because they make it happen. They just they have ideas and they bring them to the table and my job is just like sometimes say yes or sometimes say no or sometimes say maybe we could add this or that, but they do it. And I just have to get out of the way.
So talking about your work, how has it been? So from when you started again, so like facing all these new things you hadn't seen before, you had in other formats, right? I suppose management systems and things like that, you had in other formats. And also you were there to see things evolving. You were active in the world. It's not like you were under a rock, right? It's not, oh my God, that must have been shocking. I don't think it was shocking, obviously, because you were doing things that already included managing people, managing things. And what we do in the language business is really to manage. So, because we don't do everything ourselves, delegate. So, I guess the philosophy is the same. But how was it to get started and then, going through learning, getting to know these people, the ins and outs, somehow the industry, the clients, blah, 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 and now getting to the position of managing director?
It was really exciting, with a lot of doubtful moments, but really exciting. I realized quickly, and the person who brought me to manage language told me, "Look, if you can manage people, you can do this." And he saw me managing people. I mean, if you can manage a team of 90 people and do a rota and learning all these different softwares that you have to have, you have to manage and learn when you're in working hospitality because you have to learn an ordering system, the HR system. So you have all these softwares that you have to learn. So if you learn that and you learn to manage people and you have some knowledge of languages, of course, some or at least the limited one, the limited knowledge that you have, you learn. You so that's what I did from the start. I mean, and I knew that I had to rely on the linguists as well because they were the experts. So understanding, they taught me what questions I should ask. They taught me what I needed to look out for. I was lucky enough to have a good team of linguists from the start. The ones that are, the ones that you reach out for us. And from there, I just developed and asked them for recommendations, and the team grew kind of organically that way. We never had to do big recruitments or anything like that. we always relied on the linguists and trusted them to advise us, and that's how I learned. I mean, I just learned from them.
So Mariana says, when telling me that she was going to invite Eero, she said, "Oh, I think it would be interesting to have a transcreation project manager." So this is the expression that she used. So this is probably the first time I see one myself. I've seen people who have managed multiple projects, including transcreation projects, like myself, but I've never seen an exclusively dedicated project manager to transcreation, because usually, okay, if you work for a large LSP, something like that, usually that's part. In my case, it was more of a medical marketing department, but we did other things and that was just part of it. But I guess for you guys, the whole load of work is very creative, right? So I don't know how different it is necessarily to manage people and projects in highly creative environments. So because for me it was just another part of the group of jobs that I have to do. But Eero, how do you think your day is? So what do you think about the way that your day goes on? So you wake up, you log in, and you start talking to Mariana, you have your meetings, something like that. It's nothing like this. So this is what I use.
No,
nothing like this.
Like
so what's the day?
The technicalities are very much the same as for any project manager, I imagine, you know, going through the emails and all that stuff. But what I think is the key factor in a creative project like this is people skills, because I need a bunch of very creative, talented linguists, and it is my job to form a safe, creative, you know, workplace. So to you know, communicate with.
Should we just clarify the project that you work with, because you work with mainly one account?
Yes. I never know how much I'm allowed to.
Yeah, you're allowed to say it, because
we'll say whatever she wants.
We just published a case study about it, so we're more than allowed to say it. So Edo works mainly for ASOS, and we deliver all of the marketing content that ASOS publishes in terms of emails, push notifications, homepage content, so everything that's marketing, that's sensitive. And so ASOS is a very UK centric brand. So the message is that when they write the message for the English audience, it's very based on territory. So when they have to bring it across markets, it really needs to be the localization needs to be on point, and it's very crafted. The linguists almost have to recreate it the majority of time. So that's what. And that's what Eero does. He manages those projects beautifully.
Thank you.
And I'll pass the word to you
so you can explain what you do. Ensure that the linguists are, you know, happy working with us. Because because it can be a very fast-paced workflow, and that can be very stressful and pressuring. And it is very hard to be creative under those circumstances. So I feel like a big part of my job is just to, you know, check in on the linguists, seeing how you're doing, not just sending them emails like I need this ASAP, but be like, how was your weekend? We have a wonderful group chats with all the linguists across all the languages we do for the project, where they can, you know, chat together and send their pet pictures and pictures of their kids and picnics and whatnot. And another thing is to not be afraid of making mistakes. That happens. We are human. We make mistakes. So that's just an opportunity to learn. If you make this mistake, you know not to make it again. Because I, especially when new linguists start in this project, and they've worked with other agencies before, they are absolutely terrified if they make a small mistake, and they are like mortified and apologize so much. And I just have to go and be like, you know, that was your first mistake. That happens. You know, we are being creative sometimes the rules are bit fading, you know, you have to try the limits somehow, sometimes make puns and jokes and try new things. And you can't try new things without sometimes making a mistake.
That's true. So this is, from what I
Mark.
could see until now, a very different type of company, right? So from a lot of the ones that I've seen before. So Marianne, when you go out in public and represent the company, like you did last week, right? So you were in this event with that, you became very famous after that, and I'm like, okay, now she probably will say yes to the podcast. Let's talk about this again. And it was true,
What?
right? She was like,
She got famous.
now she was all over LinkedIn, everybody was commenting, so everybody was like happy. So I'm wondering what she said, because it's not available, the recording, as far as I know, but I'd love to see it. Then
No.
I'm asking,
So
so when you go
mysterious.
and present, right, when you go and you know, go in public and represent the company, how do you present?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And the services and activities that you guys developed at the company.
Okay, I always have trouble describing this in a language service provider, but that's exactly, I mean, we are a language service provider. So with everything that comes with it, we do technical translation, we do post-edit machine translation, we do copywriting, we do creative translation. So we work across the usual language services that everyone else does. We have a very agile approach to it. We have the software development in-house. So we always try to offer the clients bespoke solutions to their issues. So it's not, we don't just throw things over a CAD tool and then everything comes out on the other side and hope for the best. Although that's a legitimate approach. I mean, that's how most companies work. We try to understand what the client needs. We try to understand what the client wants to do. Where's the client going? What are the plans for the future? What languages they want to develop? What markets are they in? How have they established their localization process? So look at the client as a whole, and then build a bespoke team that's best dedicated to them. And that's where the trick comes in. We are a company that genuinely thinks and believes with every fiber in our bodies that, working with the linguists who are valued and empowered makes us look good and makes the client look good. So it's all about the relationship with the team that we have. It's all about treating them fairly, making sure that the client gets the best output that they can possibly get, having a collaboration environment. So for example, in this project that Ero describes, the ACES project, the linguists work in the same file. So it's marketing content. We have our own CAD tool that we use for in a Google environment, but it's marketing content that doesn't, it's not, it doesn't tend to be churned. So it's not the same to be, it's not the same content to be put in a transition memory system. So it's fresh, it's different all the time. And the fact that, for example, that they see the copy from each other, they learn loads and they collaborate loads. They
I believe in
get
that
ideas from
deeply.
each
They
other.
love it.
They get ideas from each other. They
Of
talk to
course.
each other. If someone offers a solution that makes sense in another language, they kind of they get inspiration. So it's truly a collaborative environment. We also,
And I love watching that.
yeah, it's really cool. And also, for example, we have chemistry sessions with clients. So when they when we're introducing a new team, we kind of sometimes try the linguists in project, but then we get them to talk with the client, which is not. What I find is not usual as well. They talk to the client, or they talk to the stakeholder in the market who's going to review the text and can tell the clients, can tell the linguist straight away, what are the pet peeves? What don't they like? What are their preferences? Or who are they trying to reach? So that's having that collaborative approach and having that trust that people want to deliver great work, and that if they are empowered, they will invest that much more. Has been working for us, and just treating people decently. basic. It's a cliche, but treating people decently.
Yes, I
You
always
would think
advocate
that
for that.
that's the norm. You would
No.
think that that's the norm, but it's shockingly often where there are linguists who compare us to other agencies, and the vast differences there sometimes are surprisingly big.
Yeah, I know. I know. So I've worked for quite hundreds, I guess, at this point, of different agencies, and I've been, and I am at the moment also working in a project that has that kind of environment where you can see each other's work, each other's comments. I think it's just the best idea possible, and I'm with
Yeah.
you. I don't understand. Well, I mean, I do understand. I know why it's not like that all the time, but the truth is
Yeah.
that people should really focus on that and come up with a solution that will make everybody a part of the same project, like really, because it's like you work on your own thing, you work on your own thing, but it's just very valuable to look at what everybody else is doing since, hello, we're in the same project working for the same client. I mean, it's a bit insane. I do understand why they do it in certain circumstances, but I would say that people don't even think about it deeply, or else they would find solutions for many other projects to be held this way. And I'm always talking about this because I think it would
Yeah.
be one of the greatest steps to solving many problems, including problems that have nothing to do with the work itself, but would have a massive impact, just like your mental health, even, because it's like you feel like you're working with other people in the same project at the same time. Maybe they felt the same struggles. Maybe they had the same exact questions than you. And if one of them asked the question, you're not so sure how to formulate the question, somebody else does. And you're like, oh, this is exactly what I needed. So this has happened to me all the time, because I do see the value in collaboration, full-blown collaboration, where you go back and forth. You can not necessarily discuss, because that's not possible in all
Yeah.
settings, but definitely at least to have access to what everybody else is doing. And when they, for example, I've seen this in a project that I work with very regularly. Like, if someone wants to introduce a new thing in the glossary, they will make it public. Well, listen, I've looked at this term and I think we should change this with that. And all of a sudden, you're thinking about it for your own language too. And you question yourself. And that is very, very valuable because it will give you ideas that you wouldn't think about by yourself, but will actually improve the quality of the work that you're doing. So for me, that's just the thing to do. I'm with you.
Another thing that this model allows is that we get to know the linguists fairly well, and knowing them fairly well allows us to know their strengths, their weaknesses as well, and but what are their preferences, what are their interests, which one will be better with this client, because they will ask loads of questions. This client likes to be asked questions. They like that investment. Another one just doesn't want it.
Exactly.
So they want us to manage that and not to be bothered beyond the onboarding stage. So getting to know the linguists, I mean, I think the ultimate thing that we did was done a risk assessment with someone who was pregnant, who worked in Poland, but to understand what we could do to support her to maintain the workload that she had, but in a way that was not too stressful and too and that would not harm her pregnancy. So it's but getting to know them, understanding what makes them tick or what projects they prefer, all of that is key to kind of match the client to the best linguist possible. It's questionable if this is scalable. We have been finding that it is. We've had the company's been growing in a really successful way. So if we can have this approach, why not?
For sure, for sure. I think it used to be normal to see in CVs. Well, I've looked at thousands of CVs, obviously, as a vendor manager and all of that, and project manager and all the things I've done. But it's like, and also people ask me to look at their CVs, so I do that a lot. But it used to be normal to see like your hobbies, your interests, things like that. These days, people are like, yeah, just make one page, blah, blah, blah. You have some of them have graphics with numbers and how good they are in languages and all that stuff. But the truth is that the world of, language work is just infinite, obviously, and it caters to all sorts of people alive. And therefore, you need to actually know a lot of their personal, of the workers, or of the language workers, preferences and other types of knowledge. Because, like I say, That's my motto. Bring everything you are to work. And this is what happens. You're not leaving a part of you behind. And if people do that, they will pay consequences that are really in your mental health and all sorts of things. So basically, someone acknowledging everything that you are and actually asking you to use it for work, that will benefit you and that will benefit the company and ultimately the client and the project, obviously.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think
especially
it's really
in an
important
industry
to know.
Especially in an industry where it's some I mean, some projects are just get on this platform, do it, and send me a PO or send me an invoice. And there's no human contact, there's no human connection, there's no and I get that some projects don't really require it, but that's easy. That's the easy thing to do. That's to throw it over the wall. I mean, anyone can do that. This part is a bit trickier. I mean, but it does yield best results. And it does make for the happiness of everyone involved. I think that's our goal, is to make sure that we are not only nice to work with, but only nice to work for with sustainability, with sustainable practices, with sustainable fees. And that really has been it's been working as a model.
And
yeah,
I like
know.
To think
yeah.
that all that work we do with the linguists to ensure that the good working environment also shows on the client side. They must see it in the quality of the work and how we are easily able to match the linguists for the clients, because we already know the linguists so well. So we know, as soon as we learn to know the client, we know who to match them with.
Yeah, long-term relationships in the industry, like any other industry, I don't know, I've never been in another one, but I suppose it's like anything else. I mean, can you imagine working with people with whom you have a real relationship with? And trust me, even in massive companies, this is possible. This is possible. It's like a lot of people have to be invested in allowing the situation to flow this way in a more natural way, but it's feasible. So I do think that if people really put it into their minds, the importance of creating these relationships. I knew a lot. I only worked with big companies, and I knew a lot about a lot of the people's family situation and where they lived and if their mother was sick or whatever was happening, you know, because it's just very, very important to keep everything very human, even if what you need from them is very mechanical. So one thing has nothing to do with the other necessarily.
Yeah, and
I understand that in an environment where you're more creative with the projects, you're also maybe more flexible. Not necessarily, though. It's just a matter of philosophy, but it's possible in any circumstance to actually reach out to the human being and actually getting to know them beyond all of these things that they do for you, for your company. Sorry, Mariana.
And no, sorry. And this doesn't mean that impacts quality or that we don't use technology to do it. We do, and we use bespoke solutions, actually. But that is with the client and the user in mind, and with the linguist in mind. What works best for the linguist, for them to be able to deliver the best results? And we do this with really, really tight turnaround times, because, for example, for Aces, it's very tough. There's a lot of contingencies. There's a lot of last minute changes. And these guys, what was the last turnaround time that we did in terms of average shadow?
Usually it's around one hour for rush requests.
Yeah.
But like, they are individual that's the average. But they are individual projects, then that are obviously far, far less than an hour, because it's a very, very reactive kind of project. So we always have to, we have a on-call system. So we have one linguist per language for this project specifically on call every day.
At least, yeah.
Yes, so isn't that much more efficient and good for everybody involved than just simply sending out thousands or dozens of requests and see who is available at that moment? I just don't understand. There's lots of solutions, in my opinion, that should be taking place on a constant basis, on a conscious basis, because if people are conscious of what the company needs, I'm sure there are a lot of people who can accommodate those needs. You need to talk about it. You need to make it good for both parts involved, because like I always say, there's a thing, for example, very basic, called a timesheet. You can, you know that you're on call, and therefore you just deliver your timesheet at the end of the week, and it's just a possibility, right? I'm not saying it's the only one, but great possibility that you actually have to log in the time that you're doing, because you already know that you're on call and that you're going to receive work, and therefore you're available, not necessarily having 20 random people. Whomever picks up, it's fine because we need it fast. I don't know that that's the excuse for all the things that are going on. So that's just to me, right?
Anyway, I think there are better solutions. And if you consider each project as it comes, and if you kind of look at the client, look at the needs, look at the requirements, you can find better solutions than just to throw it over the wall. So I think there's a mix of wanting to save, wanting to make cost efficient decisions, but also a mix of a bit of laziness or not caring from certain companies. So, or from certain sectors of the industry that could frankly do better. But we know
that there's circumstances, we know that, but I do think that in a lot of circumstances things could be a lot better, because everybody who's involved knows that there are strange needs like that you need something in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, in an hour, whatever it is. But I mean, if you already know that, I'm sure there's three or four ways of solving it with proper solutions instead of what most people do. So yeah, well, talking about other things, I have to talk about it because it's just too relevant not to talk about it. So Eru here, very interested in languages and all of this. He's learned Spanish, but now I guess the focus is on Portuguese for personal reasons. You know, one of those situations where your personal reasons demand for your linguistic attention, right? So when did you start and how is it going with the Portuguese?
Oh, goodness. It's been eight years, I think. And at first, you know, the very basics were easy because I had already studied Spanish as a teenager.
So you need the structure, the grammar, kind of.
Exactly. So, but as in like written Portuguese was easy to understand. Like not long after I had met Mariana, it was a week in or so, she sent me a long message in Portuguese. And I did not understand all of it, but I did understand that, you know, I got the gist of the message without using any machine translation. Mm-hmm. So I already had that advantage for me. And then I started using Duolingo straight away. But then the issue was that I started saying things like leite and verci, and that was that was a big no, that was not accepted, because
so
that
your
is
goal
Brazilian
was to learn
Portuguese.
European Portuguese.
Exactly. And for me, Brazilian Portuguese would have been much easier to understand.
Yes,
the vowels and everything
the
is
vowels,
much more open, so it's easier to understand. So then I had to learn ways to learn European Portuguese, which I'm now finally starting to understand. Well, Mariana says that I can speak Portuguese. I wouldn't go that far. I understand quite a bit. You know, I can follow a conversation, see what the topic is, and things like that. But sometimes the mother-in-law sends me messages in Portuguese, and I try my very best to reply, but for both of us, it's mainly using emojis and sending photos. But you know the basics. I cope.
We need to have a conversation because I will accurately tell you how it's going.
No, let's not
I'm very
go.
Strict with that. I'm very strict.
Okay.
Nah, just kidding. So Mariana, what do you do when you're not managing languages? You have your daughter, obviously. And you manage languages all around. I know that. I suppose there's lots always to do, and I know how it goes, but what else happens, because you're such an adventurous person, you like knowing new things, and I know you learn a lot at work every day, but besides that, and somehow supporting Eero in his Portuguese learning, I suppose, every now and then, right? So he asks you, how do you say this? How do you do that? And, you know, why do you use this preposition? I love this kind of questions. It's so funny, because usually even the grammar will tell you, well, that's just the way it is, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I have to ask my mom's a Portuguese teacher, so that one I have to ask my mom. What do I do when I'm not managed language? Not much, to be honest. Right now, not no. I have I'm very lucky to have a very flexible schedule, so I'm allowed to kind of support my daughter, taking her here, there, and everywhere. And I have two stepsons that are with us every other week, so it's very much a family-based life, and which is a lot of fun. They've dragged me to play Pokemon right now. I
I
know.
don't know. My son is only 3, so I don't have to deal with many things yet.
Oh, wait for it, it's coming.
Yeah.
So yeah, between my daughter and my two stepsons, it's been more about family support than my adventurous life before. But there's time for the odd concert. And the concerts are a very, very big deal. I have one this week, actually. We'll see Arcade Fire. It's gonna be a good one. Do you know who Arcade Fire are?
I don't.
I know the name. That's pretty much the
Yeah,
extent of it.
that's where I am too.
Really?
Well, you know me, I only listen to one thing, I only care about one thing, I only do one thing when it comes to music, so.
Can you clarify, please? Because Edo doesn't
Well,
know.
Ero, he doesn't know. I'm a huge, huge diehard, and now it's almost 37 years, Madonna fan. She's here.
That's...
I'm keeping her.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. She's like my English teacher. Yeah, she's my English teacher.
You
And other things too.
Portugal for a little passing moment.
Yeah.
Do you know? Did you learn
In
English from by listening to Madonna?
Sorry, couldn't hear you. Madonna? You said Madonna. Did I
Sorry.
learn English from
Did you learn
listening
English
to
by
Madonna?
listening to Madonna?
Well, I got obsessed with English because of Madonna, obviously, because I had this goal of understanding as much as I could as early as possible. So I became a fan when I was exactly 10 years and 9 days. So I know the date, and it was a very important event in my life. And so ever since, I have been, doing whatever is in my power to learn English, keep up my English, get my English better, do anything I can with it in order to improve it constantly. Because this is what she does. She's the artist of the world that will give you all sorts of tools to do that, because her music from the 80s specifically is very narrative. So the verb tenses are correct in the sentences for the songs, and all of that stuff. So she always gave me a lot of material. So she has a lot of interviews, she has movies, she talks a lot in the concerts. So that's really the basis of my English learning. And then, of course, I did all the formal things that everybody did. I actually went to the private institute to get extra help with English because I was so obsessed with it. So very, very early, it was apparent that I was obsessed with this thing. And obviously, I have to say, probably 70% of it is the Madonna thing. And the other part is the fact that, of course, I studied linguistics. So I'm really interested in all of it, even from, the philosophical point of view, the historical point of view, and all of that. But I would say that it was a huge influence in everything that had to do with me working with languages, of course. So that's why I call her my English teacher, right? So she had a, when she did Madame X, and she was here in Portugal in 2020 with that concert, and she said, Madame X is a teacher, Madame X is a whore, Madame X is a blah blah blah. She had that tag, right, with all the Madame X is X. And then I wrote everywhere, Madame X is my English teacher, because that's what she is. That's ultimately the thing that she is more than anything else. So definitely I have to say that there is a huge relation. Other people have their spouses or their boyfriends or girlfriends speaking other language. I had my Madonna from a very early age, and definitely that's how it went. So she it's my English is my love language.
Oh, do you know how I learned English?
Oh.
Let us know.
I started watching Star Wars when I was 4,
Oh.
and I watched the movies over and over and over and over again. So basically, my English teachers are Luke and Leia and Han.
Wow.
I love that. And especially because in Portugal you don't dub things e either, you use
No.
subtitles, so it's very useful.
Yeah, it's we
Yeah.
know it's for economic reasons, but it actually, I think, worked very well for all of us in the multiple generations that had the chance, because it now it's a little bit less needed, because there's a lot of dubbed things, or there's versions that are dubbed, or things for little kids, not for adults, but definitely for kids. But I guess when we were growing up, even our cartoon was all either dubbed in Brazilian Portuguese, right, or subtitled.
Oh yeah,
That was
no.
us.
Finns find dubbing really cringy. We really only dub kids things, and everything else is subtitled. Well, that's, if you go to the cinema, everything's subtitled twice, which is a pain.
What?
Yeah, I
Really?
know. I don't
Why
like going to the cinema,
twice?
and be,
Is it a Finnish
because we're a
and
bilingual country, Swedish. And my silly little brain tries, even if I understand the English that is spoken. My silly little brain tries to read first Finnish and then Swedish as well, and then I can't keep up, and then I miss half of the film because I'm just trying to read, well, understand all three languages at the same time, and it's a headache.
Yes, I understand those problems. I remember my brother watching something in X language and then the subtitles in French and English all at the same time, and also trying to focus on everything. He used to do that exercise too,
Yeah,
so I understand how
it's
it is for
oh,
us
Ero,
nerds.
can you tell Rita your hobby for the last year? Is
So,
it a language
I've been
related thing? No.
subtitling. Yes, I've been in on my spare time. Well, sometimes this will be on work time as well. I've been subtitling this Finnish period drama series, so I can force my friends to watch it. And
Oh.
I have learned tremendously. I have learned so much. It is so much work. I've actually like used much more time doing research than actually than subtitling. I've
Because
learned both.
it's a period series,
Yes,
which makes it all so much easier.
it's set in early 19th century. So it's a
Right.
very specific kind of language. And so I've learned both Finnish and English. A lot, because as a viewer, I don't even understand all the Finnish terms they use. So first, I
Of
have to
course.
research and learn what those mean before I can try and translate
So
it.
when you're not managing languages, you're managing to learn languages. I know how it goes.
Very
It's
much
important. I
so.
was
I
telling you
enjoy
guys,
it.
it's not possible to watch movies with me or to go with me anywhere because I'll be talking about the same all the time. Ah, she used this word. Oh, this expression. Oh, this structure. What do you mean? You can say this and mean
Oh
that.
yes.
So it's not possible. It's not advisable to go
And
with me anywhere.
Finnish subtitling guidelines are sometimes very oddly strict, and I always find that sometimes even irritating. There are things like you should introduce certain things even before they have been said. So names and such, you should include them in your subtitles, or you should know more than the viewer. So
So, are you actually
if you're
looking
going
at guidelines even if you're not working in a real project?
a little
Well, that's like a professional hobby. Because at
no,
the end of it,
is
you
why I had
will.
to hire him.
Oh,
a very good Finnish linguist friend of mine. I'm always texting her. I'm like, oh, how should I do this? How should I do that? And because she's an actual linguist, so she sent me this whole guideline file that
Yes, I'm
I've
familiar
been
with
trying
those.
to
So, Mariana, you'll have your own
somewhat
internal
popular.
candidate for Finnish subtitling. I don't know if you usually work with Finnish, but it might happen, I'm sure. So you already know
I do.
who's been doing
Oh
the
no,
research before
I
time.
wouldn't.
But
I wouldn't do it professionally.
we don't tend to
No.
use, even though we're bilingual, we don't tend to use the in-house
I'm just
talent
kidding.
to
I know. I guess
work.
nobody that. Oh well, that's not you. When you're a project manager, I mean, of course, there's a lot to say about language work and project management. There's a lot to say about that, but I will
Yeah.
just say that one job is one job, and the other job is another job.
Yes. No, I mean it's useful, and sometimes for quality checks, of course, it's useful.
Yeah.
But But no, Edo wouldn't let me. Even if I tried, Edo wouldn't let me. No, I'm not a linguist.
I need to write. He's right.
No, too much pressure. And plus,
Thanks
I
so much,
haven't
you guys.
lived in the country
Oh.
for oh yeah, 10 years.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm not,
You don't
I don't know
qualify.
any of the current
You're
trends
not a
or
proper
anything
speaker
exactly.
anymore, right?
No. Oh goodness, my mum apologized to my uncle for the way I speak Finnish. So
Wow.
well,
That
that
is a
hurts
lot.
ever so
Plus,
slightly.
this is the we now get to know the strict Finnish spirit, right? That people.
Yes. Thank
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, you guys. This has been amazing. I was wanting to talk to Mariano in the podcast forever. Everybody knows that. I'm always saying, Mariana, Mariana, come, come, come. But finally, now that she's famous, she said yes. So lucky me to finally have her. So nice to meet you, Ero, Ero, Ero. In Portuguese,
It's all
Ero.
correct.
There you go. And so thank you so much. Really nice to meet you. I'm sure we'll be in touch very soon to talk about all sorts of
Likewise.
things. Of course, if you want to discuss Portuguese details, I'm also open to that, right? Who is it? The most important thing to do in the world is to talk about details of languages, obviously. It is for me.
Good to know.
Thank
I'll
you
keep
so
that in
much, you
mind.
guys. It's really good to know how you actually have this vision of the work that you do, which is really everybody's dream. I suppose you have your dream job, at least for the moment. So I congratulate you for that. Thank you so much for your help in actually getting us an overview on what you do in the company. And very nice, very cute. And I loved our conversation. Thank you so much, you guys.